Hey, my name's Adam, founder of Tech for Finance, and I help finance pros develop the skills they need to build scalable and sustainable businesses whilst freeing up time for the things that matter most. Join the 23,000 others that follow me on LinkedIn for tech insight. Subscribe to Tech for Finance on your favorite podcast platform and on YouTube, and head over to techforfinance.com. Sign up for Framework Friday and get one actionable tech framework you can use to stay ahead of the game. Welcome to the show. So if you're struggling to understand Python and its use cases for finance, this episode's for you. So for years, I resisted learning how to code, and I wish I hadn't. I'd done a bit of web design, i.e. copying and pasting HTML from others, but that was it. And then I got thrown in at the deep end working with Microsoft Dynamics, where an auto update broke my customer systems. And well, I spent 48 hours with no sleep learning Microsoft's AR language to provide very basic patches, and then I forgot all about it. But since then, ChatGPT became a thing, and I've used Python for all sorts of stuff like writing apps to reformat Excel data and creating forecasts. But, you know, I kind of wish I'd had ChatGPT back in my Dynamics days, right? But with that in mind, let's look at how and where we can deploy Python. So Python is super hot right now, namely because one, anyone with access to ChatGPT or a similar AI tool can generate code. Two, because people now realize it can be used to do a lot of stuff. And three, because it's now built into tools like Excel. But there's a lot of noise out there, which I'm hoping we can cut through today. And to keep things simple, we'll focus on three areas. So one is data analysis, e.g., you know, visualizations, financial forecasting, for example, predictions, and then automating finance tasks, so e.g., data reformatting, that sort of stuff. But notice how none of those include the term algorithmic trading, which is what, you know, the recommendations generally come through when you're looking into Python and that sort of stuff. So if you were to Google learn Python, there's a lot of stuff to do with trading, finance industry, and so on. But we're going to forget about that today. So whether you just want to understand, you know, or take steps to actually implement Python, today's edition is here to help. So deploying Python in three steps, let's go. So the framework, which is LAW, L-A-W, starts with step one, which is library, that's L. So if you see Python code, it often starts with import, followed by a silly word like a matplotlib. And this tells Python to import a library or a pre-assembled bit of code. Now, if Python was a spreadsheet, the libraries would be the Excel templates you'd steal from somebody else. So libraries are the cheat codes of the Python world. So it's important to have a base understanding of them for each use case. So I've compiled a list of Python libraries against each of those focus areas, data visualization, finance predictions, finance task automation, on the links that you can find in the show notes below. But the key takeaway is if there's not a library for the use case that you're looking for, Python may not be the best option, at least not without a developer. So, but the first pro tip, you can use this prompt with an AI of your choice. So the prompt is, list some Python libraries that can be used for enter use case, data visualization, that don't relate to finance industry or the finance industry and algorithmic trading, and describe what they do. So again, links are in the show notes. I've included a link to my chat with ChatGPT so you can see what the response was there. So make sure to click the links. So two is application. So your use case will dictate what tool you need to use. So we'll group two of the use cases together because an application called a Jupyter Notebook serves both use cases when we're looking at either data analysis or forecasting and predictions. An example of a Jupyter Notebook would be something like Google Colab, spelt with one L. Jupyter is spelled J-U-P-Y-T-E-R. So J-U-P-Y-T-E-R. So bizarre spelling there. But it's an online environment where you can run code. So you don't need to install it. Other applications, so like Python and Excel is also an option, but it's still in preview. So an Excel plugin like PyXLL will also work for you. And again, if you listen to the end, I've got a step-by-step of how you can actually put this into practice. So we'll generate some code that you can then run in Google Colab at the end of all of this, right? So if we look at the third use case, which is finance automation, this is best done by installing Python on your computer, combined with a developer tool like Visual Studio Code, for example.
So
if anybody's used VBA, kind of similar, you know, because we're running code locally on a machine, but VBA is being phased out. But yeah, you can run code on your machine to automate stuff like spreadsheet manipulation that we mentioned, the creation of PowerPoints or anything, in fact, that there's a library for, and I'll give some example libraries a little bit later on. But anything that you run on your machine won't be usable by other team members. So if they don't have Python installed, you'll probably need to package the code into a little app that can be shared. I'll probably do it as another episode at some point, walking through how to create an app using Python. Don't have time today, but the key takeaway is it's important to match your application to your specific use case. The online environments like your Jupyter notebooks have a much lower barrier to entry than installing developer tools like Visual Studio Code on your machine. But if you want to have a go, then please do. So the pro tip here is another prompt, which you can use with an AI of your choice. Now I use ChatGPT. And this is, I'm thinking of performing use case.
Yeah.
Using a library like insert your library. So it could be, I'm thinking of performing some visual analysis with Plotly, Plotly. Is this the library you'd suggest? If so, which platform, e.g. Google Colab or Visual Studio Code, would you use to deploy it? Yeah, so you're sort of doing a bit of learning at the same time. Hopefully the AI will come back with a right or a wrong, and it might even include some other examples, might even generate some code for you, depending on what it feels like, right? But again, look at the links below. You'll be able to see my example using ChatGPT if you click the links. So step three is workflow. So we've got to decide how often we're likely to reuse that Python code. So you might only ever use it as a means of doing some ad hoc analysis or create a bit of code to merge spreadsheets together for reporting, but there may come a time where it needs to form part of a workflow. So when this happens, run this code according to this time frame. Okay, so there are plenty of no-code automation platforms that allow you to build Python into a workflow. An example would be Zapier, where you can add Python code as a step or a zap. So a simple example would be step one, every time a spreadsheet's added to a Google Drive folder. Step two, use Python code to reconfigure the data into the column formats that you want. And then step three could be an email to a team member to let it know that it's done the reconfiguration that they can then pick up afterwards. But so yeah, the key takeaway is Python becomes infinitely more powerful when it's added to day-to-day workflows. So have a think about where it can slot into your workflow there. So if we were to bring this all together, here's a few more ideas. So we'll go through use case, the library that you might want to use, the platform, as well as the workflow. So our first use case is data visualization. So we might want to create an interactive heat map visualizing the spending across different departments. So a library could be Plotly, yeah, which does have a heat map, I believe. The platform could be a Jupyter notebook, like your Google Colab, and then your workflow might only ever be ad hoc. Yeah, so we'll do this whenever we need to, right? Second, financial forecasting. So our use case is analyze past sales data and forecast next quarter's sales figures. So you could use a library like Profit, which is a forecasting algorithm, and then a platform. This might be a Zapier use case. Yeah. So we want to use Profit as a second step in a Zapier app every time quarterly sales data is uploaded to a Google Sheet, for example. So that could be a use case. And then the finance task automation example here might be automating the process of summarizing expenses by category. So you could use a library like Pandas, which is specifically for reconfiguring and categorizing data. And the platform could be that local environment that we talked about, so Visual Studio Code or something in your machine. And then you might do that monthly via a packaged app pointing to a CSV that you might download from your finance system, for example. So some examples there. Now, some of your team members might have expertise in Python. You know, it's becoming more and more common, but of course, there may be instances where you want to get a developer to help you with some of these sorts of things. But it helps for you to have this base knowledge so that you can speak from a position at least of base knowledge when you're getting developers to help you with this sort of stuff. But if you fancy giving it a go, you can put it into practice. I'm a big advocate of putting things into practice because it makes these concepts real. So try this. So you can log into it, an AI of your choice, you know, ChatGPT or Copilot, probably the preferred because they tend to be the best with writing code at the moment. And then you can enter this prompt. So this is example prompt. So using the matplotlib, M-A-T-P-L-O-T-L-I-B library, generate some Python code that someone in corporate finance could use in Google Colab to get an immediate impression of the power of Python. Use dummy data within the code to avoid the need for data upload or data connection, and exclude anything to do with the finance industry or algorithmic trading. Then what you need to do is copy the code, head over to Google Colab. So just search Colab with one L, create an account if you've got a Google account, but it will give you the ability to create a notebook. And then right at the top, there's a plus button that says code. Copy the code into that. And then once the code's copied, you'll then see a little play button that sits on the left-hand side of the code. So you can just click play and it will run the code and produce the visualization. So I can't show you my graph here because I've got it on my iPad, but that essentially generated a line graph, a bar chart, and a pie graph based on some dummy data. And again, I'll put the link to my conversation in the show notes or the description below so that you can pick up and follow along if you want to. So in essence, follow the steps, you'll be a Python pro in no time. But yeah, if you enjoyed this, let me know. That's it for this episode. Hopefully see you next time, and good luck with Python.